This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, standing 6'2", 299 pounds, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, what are you doing here? Abortion is healthcare. Holy shit. Topical message, not a topical actor. Thank you very much for coming in. Also joining my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur, in the living room. Arthur, also nearly fully deaf, so he does not hear his name being shouted multiple times. And if anyone's listening for the first time, Arthur is a dog, not my actual co-host or sibling. So don't you worry. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, first time guest, long time friend, we got Joey Clift.
How's it going, everybody? Every time you do this intro, I'm always so worried you're just going to scream your throat out.
I can't believe I haven't. I'm going to knock on wood when I say this. But the amount of times I've lost my voice in life is like one, considering I am not professionally trained and I'm always talking and yelling. And smoking.
I gotta say, this is we're recording this over Zoom, so you can't see this, but a little bit of blood is dripping down Gabriel's lip right now.
His throat ruptured. Yeah, no, something is definitely wrong. Two of my teeth fell out when I was screaming at that point. But I don't think that's about volume. Anything, yeah. That's about malnutrition. Joey, what's up, man? Long time no see. We haven't gotten on the pod since the Gino Lombardo days when you we did some characters over there on the Gino Lombardo show back in the day.
Oh yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, that was good times. I feel like that was like deep pandemic when it was just like we kind of forgot how to do comedy like with other people.
Yeah, it's weird how normal Zoom is now for me, considering. I'm like, we're going to do this whole show over Zoom? Holy shit. Now they're like TV shows somehow being shot over Zoom. And I'm like, oh, okay. My podcast was not as difficult as I thought. Like at the time, I was like, how do we even do this? And now it's like, why even bother getting in person sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm wearing Zubas right now. I'm very comfortable. It's like, I feel like it's a mix. It's like nice to do it in person because you can kind of like bounce off each other's energy a little bit better. But it's also just like, yo, I took a nap 5 minutes ago. Like, I woke up from a nap 5 minutes ago. I'm very much, like, relaxed.
Well, just from home is chill. Like, also, like, if you don't, if you're not making enough money to afford a studio, it's like, I don't need to have people in my house. They don't want to necessarily be in my house. Like, for the longest time, I recorded in here, and it's like, Phil Rosenthal had to sit in my, like, tiny little fucking office and, like, on my couch that I play video games on and be like, thanks for coming by. What's your favorite lunch? You know, it's like this feels a little better. People are frequently more comfortable in their homes, too. And if someone's running late or someone cancels, like this is where it really flourishes in the flakiness of L.A., where you're like, if I texted you at 2:30 and said, shit, sorry, man, something came up, that would not undo your day like if you were already in your car.
Oh, yeah, if you lived in Santa Monica or
right,
something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And when someone cancels on, when someone's like, I can't make it anymore, I'm like, great, okay, I'm in the place I'd be.
I'll have a second lunch.
Right. I'm on that Hobbit diet.
Yeah. I think it's so funny. This just reminded me of like, I feel like early days of podcasting where, yeah, you'd have to like sit in some comedy guy's like trashed living room where he's got like a Zoom recorder sitting on like a cup, like just like a glass of Miller Lite that has clearly not been touched or cleaned out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, as a guy who'd coached improv and taught, coached improv groups for a long time, got to see a lot of like apartment living rooms, you know, like where it's like, hey, I have the biggest apartment out of the six of us, or I have the least roommates, or I have the most centrally located place. So you'd like, it's weirdly something that never really happened in my New York times, because we always be like, no one had the space, so we'd always just get space. And then moving here, you spend a lot of time inside other people's apartments, and that's always, especially if you are in a 20-something or a 30-something struggling comic, you're not like, ah, yes, my improv room. No, it's like...
Well, yeah. Or it's the thing where, like, you get into somebody's apartment and they do have roommates and the person's just like, the group game's got to be real quiet. My roommate works in the morning.
Right, right.
Like, I know. Instead of doing zip, zap, zops, can we just do zip, zap? Just, like, skip the third one.
The zop is super loud. My roommate's boss hates the zop. We got to do something about it.
That's what I really miss is, like, doing improv and you're doing just, like, you know, silly make-em-ups. And then somebody's roommate who you didn't know lived there, like, walks in, like, just in their pajamas, and they walk through the room to, like, go to the kitchen, and you're just like, you just saw me pretending to be a cop who farted too much.
Well, that's what's really, like, coaching improv is one of those worlds I love where it's like, it's as low stakes as and as low status as it gets, but by design of the framework, the coach has slight status.
Yeah, you're the teacher,
You're the teacher, you're a veteran, you know, maybe they've seen, the team has seen you perform a bunch, you're kind of, you know, vouched for by the community. It's like, oh, Gabrus, he's a real improviser, he's coaching our team. Oh, cool, that's really good news. And then it's like, I'm sort of in the high status, and then like a 22-year-old with like their clothes in a plastic bag come in the front door to their own place, and in any other interaction, I might have high status on them. In this moment, it is, I am so sorry I'm here with these. Like, you are immediately like, oh, what am I? I'm in your house, I'm realizing, and I'm getting paid my $20 an hour to be here.
Yeah,
and
you're like, yeah, for sure.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on? She's like, I'm sorry. I told you Sunday mornings is when we do it. Oh, Christ.
Like,
okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I can come back. We can just bill me for an hour. It's fine. Yeah.
Honestly, we should all just quit improv now. Let's just go home and start writing.
Yeah. We could all be doctors. That's like what I say all the time whenever I was like coaching sketch groups is just like, yo, we could just be doctors. Like, we don't have to do this.
Well, the amount of time when you like do like the 10,000 hours thing where you're like, man, 7 years of medical school to be a doctor. That seems insane. Now I'm like, have done improv now for like 19 straight years, and I am not making anywhere near what a doctor
is. Yeah, and you probably spent more money than you would going to medical school on like improv coaches, like renting spaces, buying like beer for indie shows to give to the audience.
Yeah, none of that is, I can't get a loan for that, which I guess is good because I'd be fucking, imagine being underwater for,
money.
For like, I blew all my money at IO West, like my...
Yeah, you're explaining that to your loan officer. That's why they're taking your car away.
You're like, yeah. I had to take a character workshop multiple times. I'm fucking toast.
Yeah.
That's why. So when you were talking about coming on the pod, you were throwing out some ideas of stuff to talk about, which is kind of like the normal build up to doing the show. But you had also tweeted something like, I just RDL'd more than, you know, or I just like, PR'd my RDL, some variation of I just did an RDL heavier or a stiff leg of devil, whatever you want to call it, than I have ever done before. And I'm like, oh shit, Clift is in the gym. And then when you sent the email of like, I could talk fitness, talk that, and I was like, bing, yeah, let's go. Let's talk about lifting weights. Cause you, as if I'm profiling you as someone who knows you and knows what you look like and has met you in person, I wouldn't go, there's a guy I know who lifts weights off the rip. You know what I mean? So that's why it's fun to hear, especially like, you know, you're not a college kid. So hearing when someone gets into it, that appeals to me so much. So I'm so, because it's something in my life being from Long Island and growing up watching Arnold and Sly and Van Damme, that the gym was like a big part of my community. Like people joined a gym in high school, even though your high school has a gym, you still joined Gold's or Powerhouse because it was cool. And the older kids did as well. And so it's funny, like it's not funny, but I'm always curious that I want to hear people's perspective that come at it later. So talk to me a little bit about your history with lifting weights, what inspired you, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's right. I do have a weightlifting catchphrase, and that catchphrase is Joey Clift's got a Joey lift.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Putting the lift in Clift over here.
But. Yeah. I say that quietly to myself in my gym, and I hope nobody hears me, but it makes me feel real cool.
I write it down on a sheet of paper, burn it, and then go into the gym.
Yes. Oh, of course. yeah. So, I would say that so the tweet was, last week did an RDL lift over my body weight for the first time, like heavier than what my body weight is. And right when I was about to lift up these weights, I work out in this this really small gym that's owned by this like professional bodybuilder guy. The bodybuilder just kind of said to another bodybuilder, like, whoa, look at what that little guy's doing. And they just like smiled as they watched me do the RDL lift. And it's like, then they weren't saying it loud enough for me to hear, but just hearing that was just like, oh, this is the coolest I've ever felt in my life.
Well, that's something that a whole other topic to get on is that there is like this, for novices, there's this like intimidation factor of like, well, I don't want to go in there and look like I don't know what I'm doing or anything like that. Or, but if you, if you've been coached enough to not hurt yourself, there are not many more supportive people than other people in the gym. Like gym bros, I know, are on paper sound like, I mean, anything that is modified with the word bro sounds shitty. Movie bros, comic book bros, like they all sound like nightmares, frat bros. But gym bros, it's the exception is the prick. Most people want,
like they know those exist, but like, yeah, you're right. For the most part, like I feel like, whenever I'm at the gym, people are always so like supportive and nice. And, you know, if ever anybody gives me some advice on something, it's never coming from like a malicious or like show offy place.
Yeah.
Like, I remember so my kind of my history with like weightlifting and stuff is that I'm a very string bean of a man. I like to think that my body's basically made out of like dried spaghetti.
And you are a tall, thin gentleman. Your voice does not convey what you actually
I'm trying to catch up. I want my body to be that of
I want when I get off the phone for people to jacked. Go, you must be Joey Clift.
I want people to be like, oh, Brock Lesnar, Joey Clift, got it, same body type.
It's Joseph now.
Yeah, there is going to be a certain point when like when it's tough for me to touch my back and like, because my muscles are so big, that's when I'm going to be like, call me Joe.
Yeah, that's when you become Joe. That you like Bruce Banner and Hulk, yours are Joey Clift and Joe Clift.
Yeah, totally, totally. But so, you know, I'm definitely just like a skinny guy. And I'm always somebody that's like wanted to get in shape, but not necessarily has like known how to do it. So I remember like, you know, going to the gym when I was like 18, 19, just like a Gold's Gym in my really small hometown in Washington State, and having no idea how to work out, and like getting into a leg press machine and literally just like kicking the weight as high as I can get it to go, and then catching it with my feet and then like letting it down, and having a bodybuilder walk up to me and be like, yo, if you do that one more time, your knees are going to explode. And me being like, oh, got it. So you do it like not an idiot, you know?
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
dangerous. That makes sense.
Yeah. It was just because I didn't know, you know, like because you sit in the machine and you're like, what's this? You know? So I basically at that point, I would just work out until I felt like I was going to black out. And then I'd be like, well, I guess that means I'm done for the day. And I would get in my car and drive off. And I would basically go through kind of periods where every 4 or 5 years I would, you know, get into the gym or try to do some version of fitness. So I did that for a couple months. And then when I was
as you get older, you sort of realize like, OK, this is not even about aesthetics now. Like,
yeah,
I think when you meet other 30 somethings and late 20 somethings that are like, yeah, if I don't jog, you know, my back seizes, and all of a sudden you're
legit,
this is like rehab. And then not even touching on the mental health shit, which I didn't really understand until my late only a couple of years ago. But as you get older, you're like, fuck, I really need to find something that works for me fitness wise.
No, 100%. I think it was little stuff where like, I remember when I was probably like 28, 29, because I'm a writer, like I'm like a, you know, comedian, but I'm primarily a writer. So I just like, you know, sit on my couch and write all day. And I remember there was like one time when I like woke up and like was in bed, and I was just like stretching as you do in bed, and like something in my knee popped. And then I like walked with a limp for like probably a week after that. And I was like, I like hurt myself literally stretching in bed. I should like do something. So then I like got really hard into yoga for like probably about a year, did it like, you know, 6 times a week or whatever. And then, you know, you just get busy, you start a job, or you like start working on a new show, or you just get into something else, then you stop. So I kind of go through this like period of, you know, getting really into fitness because of like injuring myself for like some really dumb reason, like while sitting in a chair or something. And then I'm like, oh, I gotta like turn this around so I don't like, you know, break my leg while I'm literally in the shower.
This is probably a really common path, common narrative, yeah, for a lot of people in the world of like, Yeah, you know, I used to be in pretty good shape. Then I got to be in my late 20s where you can't just live off of, you know. And so you're like, I got into jogging. And then I would jog a few days a week for a couple of years, and that was working. Then I fell out of that. But then I got my knee started. And like,
so I was like, oh, I should get back to jogging. Yeah.
And you have another thing that I think is common for a lot of people, too, is that you don't have weight issues. So like if you're not considering a person, some people who are, you know, overweight their whole lives have always, it's always been a struggle. But for a long time, there was no like, well, what, like my mom would say to you, well, what do you have to exercise? And my mom's a nurse. What do you have to exercise for, Joey? You're lean, you know, and it's like you learn eventually like that can fly you for a while, whereas like,
oh yeah,
I knew,
sure,
I had to get on the treadmill because people would comment about my weight. But if you're not physically overweight, you're like, oh, what, why exercise then you start to stumble into these things of like your knee popping in bed or your back hurting or you going like, you know, I sleep better when I exercise or whatever it might be. You find these like things, because most people's motivation is like, I don't want to look fat or I want to look a certain way. But if you already look good, that's not going to be the thing that gets you off the couch.
But yeah, no, 100%. Like for me, a lot of what like this kind of recent like getting really into fitness thing is over the past couple of years, I've started to just like, you know, get flown out for like shows and panels and talks, and I'm kind of like traveling for comedy a little bit more. And whenever I travel, I'm always just like, you know, all bets are off as far as where I'm going to eat. I'm gonna like, you know, go to like the nicest restaurant in the city. I'm gonna like go nuts. Like I remember I was I'm Native American. My tribe has a really nice casino that's about like 20 minutes north of Portland. And we have this like steakhouse owned by Michael Jordan called Michael Jordan Steakhouse. And I remember like I was there and I got like a filet mignon, and like they had some like fondue cheese dip that they had with like the bread. And I told him like, yo, leave the fondue dip. And I like dipped filet mignon in this dip, which was like great. But it also kind of doing that like so many times. You know, when you're like working a job where they're giving you like a per diem or whatever for food, so you can kind of spend it on whatever. Like I'm somebody that wears like really like tailored button up shirts. So it's like, because I'm like a thin guy, I like to kind of like wear stuff that's a little bit like more form fitting. And it just hit the point where it's like the belly on the shirts was just like really, really those bottom few buttons were really just like stretching and stressing themselves out. So I was like, I need to like start working out just so I can like fit into my button-up shirts again, you know.
and also not turn down fondue dipped filet mignon,
which is fantastic.
Hey, preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, it was great. But it's also like, oh, I can't do that like for two meals a day when I'm traveling,
you know? right.
And so that was kind of the idea for like probably the past year or two of like, oh, I should really like, you know, it's not like losing weight's not necessarily a thing, but just like, you know, lose a little bit of fat off my belly. And then the really big push for me is that a friend of mine reached out in January of this year, basically asking if I wanted to wrestle my first ever pro wrestling match on one of the big indie shows that was happening around WrestleMania in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I'm like a lifelong pro wrestling fan. And like, you know, it was like our mutual friend Matt Mazzani and another friend, Nick Ligger, wrestling a bunch of like real wrestlers who like wrestle on TV. They wrestle for AEW. In this match, and like, you know, as a dream come true opportunity. But I was also like, oh, I don't want what's funny about this to be like, oh, that guy looks really breakable. Like, it's like, right. Oh, like, I didn't want to walk into the ring shirtless and have people be like, oh no, you know?
Yeah. Like, please don't hurt him.
Yeah. Just like, oh, he's such a little guy. So I, you know, so I found a personal trainer and started working out with a personal trainer like three times a week starting in January.
Hell yeah, that's the smart way to do it.
And and he's like, he's really good. His name's Brian. He's a really dope personal trainer. And basically he takes me through like strength conditioning, and he set me up with like macros and like different kind of things that I'm supposed to follow as far as like the amount of cardio I'm supposed to do a week, the amount of steps I'm supposed to get. And I feel like since then I've basically been on this like struggle to try to make fitness not my entire personality, and I am losing that struggle so badly.
Well, that is, I mean, that's part of like the kind of personality types of like, because I'm like that too. When I'm in the zone, that's like what I want to like. I'm like my iCal has like lift, sauna, run, swim, like, and all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, now I'm cooking with gas, and I'm into it. That is a drawback, and But that goes again back to the earlier conversation of how like gym bros can be really supportive. It is because everyone kind of gets obsessed, and to live vicariously through other people, especially novices, because you get the novice bump of like things come fast. You know, like if you're completely new to weightlifting and you take the bar and start benching 45, just the bar on Monday. And then the next Monday you come back and do 50. Next Monday you come back and do 55. You will in 1 year be up to 200 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that is just something that can happen. And if you're already at 200 pounds and you've been lifting for a while, there's a lot more that goes into. So there's a little bit of that excitement. And then also because it's full of your, there's only so much you could do. So if someone's like, hey, man, I mean, for the longest time, I was coming up with friends programs for them, and I have no official experience except
that's awesome.
Years of listing, reading.
Oh, I didn't know you were like that hardcore into fitness. That's dope.
That's the thing. I'm like a mechanic whose car is a piece of shit, or like a landscaper who has weeds all over their lawn. I'm a fat bastard, but I'm a huge fan of like lifting weights and fit. I've been like, quote unquote, studying it since I was like 14, since I got my first Muscle and Fitness magazine.
Hell yeah.
NordVPN. NordVPN offers many tools to improve your online experience. It's easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto connect for zero click protection. NordVPN has 5,900 plus servers in 60 countries. Find a server near you for a better speed or connect to a faraway location to freely explore the internet. Plus, they have amazing speed. It's confirmed by multiple tests. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there. Now, don't miss your favorite content from home when traveling abroad. With NordVPN, you can access your favorite shows anywhere in the world. It takes just a click. Open the map, click on a location, and you'll be connected in seconds. It's that easy. Plus, no more bandwidth throttling based on traffic type. Since it encrypts all traffic, your ISP can't slow down your streaming speed. Use VPN to find services at a lower price. Want to use a platform that isn't available in your country? Boom. Simply change your virtual location. Get connected today at nordvpn.com/mighty. That's nordvpn.com/mighty. Get your exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/mighty. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.
So it's cool. And so you said you tried yoga. What drew you to lifting weights this time? I guess if you want to get into professional wrestling, the performance sport art that is wrestling, lifting weight, like that's where I came, you know, like growing up watching that, like I wanted to be Hulk and Macho Man and Goldberg and all these people and The Rock. So you see, and so like, is that what drove you towards lifting weights for your fitness goal, or like because of your frame and you were like, it would be nice to have muscle? Because you could probably just go for a couple of jogs and stretch too, and that would be good for you. But what made you choose lifting weights, which I'm fully in support of, and I think everyone should do resistance training of some sort. But
yeah,
what drove you there?
Well, it's dope to like what you were talking about a second ago about like just supportive like fitness environments. There is something that's just like, I remember when I was starting, we do a split. So we do like leg day and then a push day and a pull day. So it's like one day is just lower body. Then one day is like just chest and another day is just back basically. And I remember like pretty early on, I found out that like my lower body is really strong. So I like maxed out the leg press to the point where it's like, they couldn't put more weights on it. And it's just like so awesome seeing like an entire gym being like, whoa, look at that guy's leg press, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially as somebody who's just not like used to getting kind of that kind of feedback.
Well, you get into like, I don't know what your history with athletics is. Did you play any like organized team sports in school and stuff like that?
No, man, I played video games and watched pro wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could have guessed that. I just, as a proper host.
No, it's
I just
good to know. There's a world where I'm like a crazy track athlete or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, yeah, I was a Washington State high jump champion. Yeah, but yeah. I think for a lot of people, and I think that's why CrossFit popped off in the cities, because a lot of those people who missed that kind of team, that kind of like push yourself energy that comes from practice, not just the gym. I think for some people who didn't have that, the gym can provide that. Training can provide that of like someone going like, hey, you're actually getting better at military press. You can feel that 6 months ago you were doing 20s on incline bench press. Now you're doing 35s. You are mathematically, biologically stronger than you were. And like, I think also I'm going to throw out a bunch of psychological shit at once here. I think also in our industry, there is sort of no like feedback, like true feedback loop. Cause you could be like, everyone says I'm funny, but that doesn't translate to actual career success. You could be super successful financially, and a lot of people might not think you are funny, or like there's no true, but with like the iron, as the kids say, if you were benching 100 pounds last year and now you're benching 140, you are objectively stronger.
Well, I think that there is also something to, like, you know, we've talked about like comedy a little bit, how, you know, we're comedians, we pay our bills through comedy. So if somebody walks up to you at a party and says like, whoa, John Gabris, you're really funny. You thank them and you appreciate the compliment, but you're also just like, yeah, I mean, this is what my job is. So it's like not a huge surprise to me that I'm funny. But like, if I go to a party and somebody says like, oh, Joey, have you been working out? I'm like, oh, holy shit. The people are noticing. Like,
yes.
It's just like, yes. It's like, yeah. And it's like, I'm not like jacked, but it's like, it is just, it's like a feedback. It's like a type of feedback that I feel like just, a lot of, you know, just for lack of a better term, just like a lot of dudes, we don't get like compliments, you know?
Right. Well, also, and move the exterior feedback, the interior feedback of like, when you like look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, is that, do I have like a trap muscle?
Yeah, no,
for
yeah,
the
totally,
first
totally.
Time? Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm not like Kumail Nanjiani jacked or whatever, but it's like, there are some times where I'm like shaving and I'll like look in the mirror and I'll be like, oh, is that like a back muscle? Whoa.
Yeah.
You know, like, or it's just like, oh, it feels like
that's fucking great, right? Like,
yeah,
that's,
or it's just like, oh, my shirts are like a little bit tighter around the chest. Do I have like pecs now? You know?
And then it starts to explain to you why, you know, like jacked people walk a certain way. Cause all of a sudden you find yourself being like, oh yeah, my upper back is like a little sore from working out. And when I go, my shoulders look good. And then you find yourself kind of like walking like that. And you're like, oh, and then you understand why, like you'll see dudes who have like
I definitely walk out with my arms just completely at my sides at all times. Yes.
it feels really good to be a little sore. And then there's also like deep down inside, there's something that feels a little good about being famous strength coach Mark Rippetoe. He always said strong people are harder to kill and more useful in general. and it's hard to argue. Like,
well, I don't disagree. I mean, look, people are trying to kill me all the time, and it's getting a little tougher for them this year. Yeah, but no, it's like, it's just like little dumb stuff where it's just like, if my girlfriend wants me to like open like a jar or something, it's like, it used to be something where I would like have to get like a towel and like really try my best on it and like get a knife and try to pry it free, and now I can just do it with brute strength, baby.
See, that's, yeah, and like shit like that too, where you're like, oh, now I'm carrying something up a flight of stairs and it's absolutely killing me. And more importantly, I'm not getting injured throwing something in the overhead compartment on my trip up to Washington. You know, like those moments that you realize you're like my dad was a crazy fitness nut, like into lifting weights and martial arts. And he, when he was dealing with brain cancer before he passed away, doctors were like, this would be so much worse on someone who wasn't in shape.
Yeah.
And you hear that enough from people that you're like, here's an example of something I read recently in Dr. Peter Attia's book called Outlast or Outlive or something like that. It's kind of like the science and behind fitness and longevity. And just something he said was like, if you can imagine at 70 years old, you have, or I'm going to make up all the numbers here because I can't remember the numbers, but the spirit of the conversation will be the same. If at 70, you have half the capacity you had at 40. Like, say you could walk 2 miles easily at 40, you could probably only walk 1 mile at 70. But if you could walk 10 miles at 40, you can walk 5 miles at 70. Yeah, and like that, like, he's like, you're gonna fall off no matter what, but wouldn't you like to fall off from higher up? And I'm like, oh, that, like, that hit me in a way. I've never ever looked at fitness like that. I've always looked at it from like what I'm physically capable of. Like, I'd love to get stronger so I'm better on the rugby pitch. And then also elements of like, I want to look better. But now in my early 40s, it's about, I want to be around here later. And more importantly, able to do shit. I want to be 68 and be able to walk upstairs. You know what I mean?
Well, that was a huge motivator for me. It's like, you know, part of it was just like fitting into my shirts. Part of it was like wanting to like look at least like a human being in this wrestling match, which was nuts. I put on like 20 pounds in like 2 months.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd it go? I was like,
we lost, but we had a lot of fun. It was great. The audience cheered our names real loud. It was great.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. 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 A wrestler walked up to us afterwards and said like, I think you guys are the match of the night. And I'm just like, oh, thank God.
Oh, that's so cool. Congrats, man. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, part of it was getting ready for this match. Part of it was like wanting to fit into my clothes a little bit better. But like part of it was also kind of this feeling of like, you know, I'm in my late 30s, and this feeling of like, you kind of like, a number is often thrown around, I'm not sure of the science of it, but it's like, it's a lot harder to get in shape once you're like older than 40. Like it gets harder once you get into your 40s. So I kind of felt like, okay, this feels like sort of my last shot to get in, not like crazy shape. I'm not trying to be like Scott Steiner or whatever, but like
Big Papa
to
Pump.
I mean, look, do I want to be like Big Papa Pump? Yes.
I was obsessed with Big Papa Pump.
Do I have freaks and peaks? Yes, I do. But that aside,
And again, as previously mentioned, this is just an audio podcast, but Joey does have a bleached blonde goatee. Right now,
so. Yeah, I'm wearing a chainmail coif right now. But you know, but part of it was like this feeling of like, okay, if I want to get in, if I want to just be in like athletic shape, this is probably like my last shot to like, you know, really do that easily. I remember when I was like 16. I would do sit-ups for 2 weeks and I would have a six pack because, you know, you're 16 and especially when you like, or you're skinny like I am, it's just easy to
you're
do.
You're not carrying a lot of body fat. Totally.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I've also really appreciated about like this process of working out is like how hard it is to get in shape, like how much like work and dedication it takes. And it's like I work out with my personal trainer 3 times a week, doing, you know, kind of strength training exercises. And then I also do cardio 4 times a week, which is about 40 minutes on like an elliptical. And then I also get 10,000 steps every day. So there are some days where like I might be, you know, in the gym from like door to door for like, you know, 2.5-3 hours, just getting, you know,
all
the hour long workout,
checking all these
and
boxes,
cardio
that you
and
want.
Steps
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff like that. And like, you know, I feel fortunate, you know, one of the nice things about being in a strike year is that we all just have like a little bit more free time. But it's like, I just can't imagine like, oh, if I worked like a 9-to-5 job
or had kids
kids, it's like, it's just like miraculous that anybody even like tries to get in shape. It's like so hard to do. And it's like, if you're,
my brother is a vice principal and has 2 kids. He, the only time he could train is before work. And
yeah, so it's like, I guess somebody came up at 5 a.m, you know.
Before work is brutal if you work in entertainment when you don't maybe have to be in the room till 9 or 10.
Yeah,
but if you're a middle school principal, you got to be at work at like 7:30. And that's like to work out before. He says he's waiting at the gym with a handful of people for the employee to get there to open it. Like if the employee is running a little late, there's like 7 like Long Island, like people with early jobs tapping their feet, holding their gym bags. Like we got to get in there before work starts. And it's like, I couldn't imagine wrap my head around that. But then I also now have gone through phases where I was frequently exercising and where I haven't been frequently exercising. And I've been in like a downturn for a month due to some personal shit going on in my life and some travel. And I'm like, I feel worse. I physically feel worse and I mentally feel worse. So at minimum, even if there's no real results visible or whatever, if you just feel better doing something, then it's worth the time. You know what I mean? It's worth like just the steps, just the elliptical, just the weights, any pairing of that, like whatever for listeners, you don't have to take on that big of a journey. But if you're not doing anything, anything is better than nothing. And so
even getting steps in is like good for you.
Like the easiest one to get into. And then like once you do X amount of steps a day for X amount of days, And then you take, then on, you go 4 days without taking all those steps. You're like, oh, my brain and body feel different.
Yeah.
Like I needed this. Yeah.
When that's something that I end up having to do a lot is like, if I'm traveling, one of the first things I'm doing when I'm figuring out like what hotel I'm staying at is like, what do they got in their gym? You know, if I'm going to be out for a week, I'm like texting my trainer and just trying to figure out like, okay, can you send me a workout based on like what little, you know, they've got like a couple
dumbbells.
They'll
probably dumbbells have
dumbbells.
Like, they'll
probably dumbbells, maybe, you know, like probably dumbbells and like maybe like a stair climber or something like that. You know, there's also just like, as far as hitting macros goes, it's like, I feel like I'm so opinionated about protein shakes now. It's like, I have a favorite brand. I know what the spread is.
Oh, hell yeah.
And like,
I make my own at home. Like I have like a scoop of Isopure, a scoop of collagen, and a scoop of fiber that I all like I'm the same way as you are. I'm like, I've like designed my system after years. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's so funny to me, like now that I'm like really into, you know, macros and working out and stuff like that, like there are times where I'll like go to a party and then I'll just like, you know, say something like, you know, somebody will be like, oh, you should have a brownie, they're really good. And I'll be like, oh, my cheat meal was yesterday, so I'm trying to like follow my macros. And then somebody that I don't know will just like come out of nowhere and be like, you talking macros? And then like, we'll talk at length. They'll like, they'll pull out like, you know, if it's their house, they'll pull out like their protein powder from their club cupboard, and they'll be like, no, this brand has got like a good ratio of like protein to carbs. And it's like, it's just
For any listeners who aren't sure what we're saying when we throw around the word macros, this has always been a foundational part of bodybuilders' diets and fitness diets for the longest time. But now there's more than ever before is there conversations about it. And the macros are fat, protein, carbs. And
protein, carbs, and then calories too.
Calorie. Yeah. Yeah. And what percentage of your calories come from those three categories? Some people, you know, everyone has different splits, different macros depending on what their goals are, what their vibes are, what their, you know, coaches say or whatever. You know, some people be like, I do 40% fats, 20%, you know, like that's what you're saying when, like, that's the macronutrients we're referring to. It's like, what is the makeup of your caloric intake each day?
When a lot of that is based around like how much your kind of what your like your stasis calorie intake is. And then, you know, if you have more than that, you're bulking, so you're gaining weight. Because when you gain weight, you also gain muscle. And then if you're cutting, you do, like, less macros, you change your macros because you're ingesting less nutrients that you're eating as a means to, you know, like, lose a couple pounds. And, like, right now I'm in, like, a cutting process, so I'm eating, like, way more protein and, like, way less carbs and fat. And it's, like, it's such a process to, like, I feel like I probably have, like, 12 Slim Jims every day, which is normally not very healthy, but it's, like,
but if you're trying to get protein without carbs,
Yeah,
that's where you get that handfuls of chicken breast and shit that is, like, kind of bodybuilders and fitness freaks made popular for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of times that I've, like, sat in my living room and it's, like, 11 o'clock and I'm, like, getting ready for bed, and then I check my, like, my fitness app to see my macros, and I'm, like, oh, I'm down 10 grams of protein. Better eat a Greek yogurt before I can sleep.
It's better just like, slurp this down before I go to bed. Yeah,
I'm a cautionary tale. Do not do this.
You were talking about in a cut cycle, you got to keep your protein high. Just for listeners to help explain that, that's because when you're in a caloric deficit, you do run the risk of losing muscle mass as you lose body weight. But the increased percentage of protein will do its best to like
offsets
to offset that, to buff that, to buttress that, however you want to refer to it.
I gotta ask, what's your favorite lift? We're really getting into this.
Oh, okay. My favorite lift is probably barbell press overhead. Although I'm a huge fan of the squat as well. I did CrossFit. I grew up bodybuilding, going classic bro splits, chest and tries, back and buys, shoulders, legs. I grew up doing that at Gold's Gym, at my college gym. In college, I played sports, so I had a little bit more of like, I should run hills for rugby. I should jog more. So I was doing more stuff like that. Post-college, kind of classic, just early 20s New York alcoholic lifestyle. Not a lot of fitness. Then I got into CrossFit, which got me, and I've always been a fitness nut, so like, and very knowledgeable, and that was like a wide variety of modalities, so that was very enjoyable for a long time. And then through my CrossFit gym, I got into like the big lifts, and then I got into powerlifting, and I competed in a few events on the East Coast doing like, yeah, I have like an, I think my total was 1,134 pounds at the York Barbell Invitational. Yeah. I squatted 430. I've squatted 430 something. I deadlifted 420 something, and I benched 307. Competition bench, I will say, is very difficult because you have to pause on your chest, unlike any, you know, that in training.
Yeah, but dumbbell squat or dumbbell press right now. It's like I'm pausing at the bottom just to like make it more, you know, so I'm not using the momentum.
You lose the rebound effect that you get from like your muscles. Like, because you can drop pretty hard into a squat and kind of rebound out of the bottom if your body's built to handle that. But if you pause at the bottom of a squat and you don't, you lose all that like rebound energy. That's very, you know, that's like jumping from a seated position rather than jumping after landing or something like that. But so my favorite lifts all focus around like the big famous barbell ones. Although I guess my secret answer is if I have to choose something that isn't like one of the four foundational lifts, and when I say that, I mean squat, deadlift, bench, and press.
Yeah, the four lifts that Jesus did when he was on the cross, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know there's 12 stations of the cross. One of them is bench, one of them's deadlift.
Yeah, one of them's squat. Look, but, some of those paintings of Jesus, he looks real jacked. So, like, you know, that guy lifts.
But I think he could have done more legs. He might have been able to
fair.
Get the nail out if he had. But I really like shrugs, or I guess I should say my favorite muscle group is traps. Like, I think traps are like the meatheads
idea. Like
that's like the
neck, right? Because you feel it when like that muscle, because it like that muscle is, I think, the easiest to have people notice, because it like it just makes your shirt like sit a little higher, you know?
Yeah, and also most body types, no matter how out of shape you are, this is a low fat area of your body. So putting any muscle mass in there is noticeable. Like if I put muscle on my chest, you might not notice it because I have some boobage on top of
it. Yeah, for sure.
And if you put it, build up your quads, you might not feel it because you have some fat around there. But like that, like this is like your shoulder and your traps are sort of like it's lean by from just the beginning. So throwing on some weight, and I always consider traps the meathead's beach muscle. Like everyone, when you think beach muscles, you think like abs and biceps.
Yeah.
Which is makes total sense. Bicep is the classic show me your muscle, you show your bicep.
Yeah.
But if you have big traps, that's what makes you look big. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no,
I think chicks, I don't know, like, and not to make this heteronormative, but that's only been my majority of my experiences in romances. I said a majority. I fucked a few guys in my day, but like
and all of them did it because you had big traps.
Yeah, well, traps are not necessarily something that I think draws women in, but it is something that when you see it on another guy, you're like, damn, look at this fucking guy's traps.
Well, no, like that was, I would say, the first kind of like muscle that I've, because I'm still like a pretty thin guy. I don't like look super jacked, but like my traps getting a little bit developed was the first thing that I noticed of like, oh, I'm like, I'm in the gym. I'm working out. I'm like starting to see some progress.
Yeah. And it feels really fucking good. Like, you know, you just do like one set of shrugs and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I'm getting I'm feeling that up there. Yeah. And what's your favorite lift?
So this isn't a lift, but I think that my favorite exercise is like a good pull up. Like I'm somebody where when I was in high school, for most of my life, I was like probably around 120 pounds. Like I was like a very thin guy and like 5'10". So that's a very, very like underweight body weight. And then now, like, you know, my peak weight when I was like doing my pro wrestling match was around like 170. Like I could do pull-ups pretty easily at 120. And now they're kind of a struggle. So I have to use like resistance bands to kind of help give me a little bit of a lift. But it's like, it's such a nice process that like, every time that we do it, like I'll lose a band or like with the band that I'll use will get like a little bit less strong. So I need like a little bit less help. So I'm not totally there to do like unassisted pull-ups yet, but I'm like getting closer every week. And like, that is just such a cool, like progressive feeling. But like, you can like literally see that, like, you know, I did like a big green band, which is really thick. And now I'm doing like two like purple bands, which are like a little bit thinner. And, you know, it's just, you can like track your progress and seeing that, like, oh, eventually I'm going to be able to do like unassisted pull-ups, and that's going to be really cool, you know?
Right. And pull-ups are that's a interesting you chose that. I would say pull-ups are one of my favorite exercises for other people. I have a historical issue with pull-ups because I was a fat kid going to elementary school, and you're like, we're doing chin-ups on the bar, we're climbing the rope, and
right.
And I could just never ever do pull-ups. Like, that's in my CrossFit days, I got to be able to do some pull-ups, and a couple years ago I got a few chin-ups in a row. Now I'm on a path to get those back, doing a lot of accessory work and the banded work. And I think, funny you chose pull-ups, because yes, that's a great fucking workout on your pull day, because it's like your whole upper back, your lats, your rhomboids, your traps, your biceps, your forearms, your grip, all that. And it's a skill. And like I always talk about this shit with my dad growing up. He's like, if you could bench, being able to bench 500 pounds versus being able to do a bunch of pull-ups in like crazy emergencies or life-saving situations or life-threatening situations, pull-ups will be the thing you wish you had more than a 500-pound bench. You know what I mean? I think about that a lot when you watch The Rock hanging from the side of a building. You're like, if this dude was 160, and he would be much better off.
Okay, but you're forgetting, what if you got trapped under a bar with weights on either side?
Shit, yeah, that would be... Well, then hopefully you could pull yourself out of it.
Oh, yeah, fair.
But yeah, that's not to always bring it back to like what could save your life in real life, but pull-ups feel like something that would be more helpful of a skill to have than a super high bench press, you know?
Right. Did we just become a terrorist sect? Are we going to storm the Capitol now talking about as much fitness as we're talking about?
You need pull-ups to fucking climb that wall.
Oh yeah, wait a second. Yeah, everybody that's from the Capitol, real good at pull-ups.
and you also think that like having a high bench would be good for shoving back like riot shields and stuff, but that's really a leg thing. You want squats and lunges and isolateral leg movements so that you are strong with one leg forward, one leg back, with both legs pushing. You want to be able to get, and you'll need your posterior chain work, like your deadlift work and shit, to help prevent injury from getting pushed back. And also, you probably want to loosen up your anus so you're able to shit immediately upon getting into Pelosi's office.
Yeah, all those guys really got their shit reps in beforehand. All those guys were for sure on a refeed day, so they ate a lot of carbs beforehand.
We're going to need a long day of energy, boys. Today's a cheat day. We're pushing. God, fucking. That's banana. Like, it's so funny how, like, fitness is like such a toxic community. So many communities and things that I love eventually have such a toxic streak in them. Like, I grew up liking lifting weights, comic books, Star Wars, comedy. Now all of those communities are like rife, and I'm a man and a heterosexual white man, no less, and other heterosexual white men are like ruining a lot of these communities.
Like, right. It is fun. I mean, I don't know, it's like the yoga community in LA got like real anti-vax real fast.
Yeah.
It does feel like you kind of, you know, and ultimately like I've had a great experience with this and everybody's super nice in my experiences, but it is funny where it's like, if you get really into fitness, you start to like, I don't want to say understand the appeal of Joe Rogan, but you start to get like, oh, I get why some of his listeners are maybe like how they are, you know?
Oh, I was a long time listener of Rogan up until back when it was more like, this guy is a bow hunter of elk, this guy is a martial artist, this guy's a crazy fitness freak, this guy's a professional arm wrestler. Those were the, and then in like the last, you know, 10 years or 8 years, it's been like, this is Jordan Peterson. This guy measures, right, you know, minority skulls or whatever. I'm like, okay, all right, this is not my, I was here for the meathead stuff. And unfortunately, when meatheads get full of themselves, and think they, when, once you think you know as much about life as you do about the gym, you're fucking toast. But
yeah.
You touched on something a little bit real. I'm sorry, I'll just jump on one more thing you said. You start to understand the appeal. there is an element of when you feel like you know what's best for your body, which you only learn from like
now I know what's best for everybody's body.
Right. Yeah. But specifically, you honed it by years of training and years of research and trying this and it didn't work for you, trying this and it did work for you. And so you've got it in your head where you're like, I've actually got things kind of figured out. Someone's like, you should take this vaccine. And you're like, I'm more of like a branch chain amino acids guy. And you're like,
well, it's just like, what's the macros on that vaccine? Like,
yeah, you know, sorry, yeah, bro. Yeah, I mean, I guess throw it in the smoothie, but I'm not. I don't do legumes.
Yeah. Just drip some of that Moderna into my smoothie.
I've heard someone refer to that world as conspirituality.
Yeah, it is weird because, like, I think that there's like I think that I really like the act of fitness, but it does feel like there's this. Sometimes you'll watch like, you know, fitness motivational videos, like those often play on the TVs in the gym that I work out at. And it's like a lot of them are like a jack dude shirtless in the desert talking about how like you don't know yourself till you know your weights. And it's like and it's the sort of thing where it's like, OK, like I guess that like I'm on the level of the rabbit hole where I'm just like a really big fan of protein shakes with high protein value or something that. But it's like, oh, is there a world where I'm just like flat earther's got it figured out, brother? Like,
well, there is something about, you know, setting goals and meeting them that makes you feel unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like once you're like once you're doing pull-ups with no bands and you do one, you're like, holy shit, that was awesome. Then 2 weeks later you do two.
Holy shit, JFK Jr. seems like a good presidential candidate.
I know. Well, I don't fully understand that turn, but I do fully understand the getting full of your own decisions. Like that kind of gets in your head because you're like, I'm unstoppable. I set my goal to do pull-ups, and now I can do them. I'm literally indestructible or whatever, and then you're like, okay, hold on. Because I see that with a lot of people who become experts in something that, like, they'll either try to tie it back to that. You're like, well, you know, in comedy, it's kind of like, and it's like, this isn't like comedy and, vaccine science are not the same thing. Like, but there's something it's like this. It's not undue confidence. You are deserving of that confidence, but it's you don't fully understand your confidence in that you're like,
well, yeah, well,
I should get a room full of people and tell them how to live their lives because I've got pull-ups now. It's like,
for sure. Yeah, it is this thing. And I think that you're right in that, like, this isn't like a thing that's exclusively with, you know, weightlifting, but I think that if you get like really, 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 really good at something, or you perceive yourself to be like a master of something, there is kind of a natural jump to be like, maybe I'm the master of everything. You know, you get to the point of like, who's the former New England Patriots quarterback, Brett Favre?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Didn't Tom Brady like start a cult or something?
Oh, they all will eventually. Well, that's the other thing too, is that you could be right. You could be like, wow, I really focused on fitness and I pulled it off. What if I focused on solving world hunger or whatever? Yeah, and then you're actually, and it's, you need a little distance from yourself, a little self analysis to go like, that's not my department. But a lot of people just ride in that direction of like, I've sorted it out. I bench press 400 pounds. I squat 500. Yeah. And
now see my theories about the election.
Right. Exactly. You see my abs. Great. Now you know why horse paste is the way to go. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Well, and I think that like that is the thing about fitness is I feel like so much of it is, I don't want to say like homebrew, but there's like so many things where it's sort of like, oh, you're kind of figuring out what works for you and you're figuring out while you're doing it what like is the thing that works for you. And there's for sure science behind a lot of this stuff. But I could see somebody who's like, you know, like, oh, I figured out like what my key macros are and what's my best like lift and pull split. Like, so of course now that means I can just figure out a COVID vaccine using horse paste or something.
Right, right. You know? Yeah. And you said something there that that activated me of like you dedicate your time to it and then you're like, got it, cool, I can do anything now. And you're like, yeah, not exactly, but I appreciate where you're coming from with that. And it's like, yes, that's a good energy to have, but you have to stop it at like, I will actually start telling, and people will like, I guess what we should say is you don't have to listen to someone about everything. If they're only like, I say, yes, listen to Joe Rogan in reference to hallucinogens, fitness, jujitsu, martial arts in general, bow hunting. I think you can stop there. Hosting Fear Factor podcast success are maybe the categories that you should listen to Joe Rogan on. And you don't have to, but that would be, if Joe's like, I'm going to start talking about my anabolic cocktail I'm on, I'd be like, I'm going to listen. But if Joe's like, if he's like, I'm going to start talking about car design, I'm not going to listen. So I think a lot of people need to understand that too. Like, just because your hero or the person, the podcast you're listening to is someone who knows a lot about this, that doesn't mean they know a lot about everything. They may believe that, but you have to keep in your head, call them on that. You don't have to say anything out loud, but just remember that.
I would say that doesn't count us, though. We're experts on everything.
Please, High and Mighty is literally me pretending to be an expert every week on whatever the subject is. It's like, okay, so you're here from Taiwan to talk about Taiwanese food. Now, here's what my favorite thing, you know, like I just talk over my guest like I'm more informed the whole time anyway.
Well, yeah, I think that's true of, like, I feel like improv is like that a little bit too, where it's like there are people that get really, really, really good at improv and they're just like, I can just kind of improv through everything in life.
Oh, I honestly am one of those people. I just refuse to, I truly believe I can, like, get through almost any. I happen to have like a polymathic level of knowledge, and I'm a little bit of like what are those people who can like teach them autodidact. I can like teach myself. Yeah. I can learn pretty easily. So, but I do think being so good and doing improv for so long has led me to believe like I could walk into any situation and figure my way in and out of it. It's like, yes, on stage, you dummy, not in real life.
But not like heart surgery.
No, exactly. And I'm sorry about like, this, Mr. Like, Johnson, yes, but your like, father yes. is dead.
Yeah, you can't like yes and which artery is the one you should cut.
Vena cava, my ass. I got this. Back off. He's going rogue. Tag the neurologist out.
You do a tag out on the neurologist.
Start immediately like, drilling into
the brain.
And
then you're like, swing Dorsine. Now do it like you're a dog. Anyway.
Joey, I appreciate you coming on High and Mighty and talking. And I wish you luck in your... Oh, here. You know what? Before we get out of here, besides the pull-up, do you have any fitness goals or nutrition goals or appearance goals that you're pushing towards so that I have something to root for you?
Oh yeah. So this is all like, you know, this is all kind of a personal journey for me. So it's like what my goals are doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know,
exactly.
Your goals.
Everyone's goals should be whatever they need them to be.
Yeah. So I think that for me, it's like, my goal is to get to like a 30 inch waist. Like I was like a 29 inch waist, 30 inch waist for a while. And that's kind of around like what all of my like shirts and stuff are tailored to. Right now I'm like around a 33 inch waist. So it's to lose like 33 inches or so off my waist, which is like a really specific goal, but I think I can do it. I'm like, I'm kind of hitting that point where I'm like, I'm losing maybe a pound every week, which is like a very, very healthy amount of weight to lose.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I'll hit that goal by like January. And then after that, my goal is to vote for JFK Jr. as much times as possible in the election, or RFK Jr. as many times as possible in the election.
Once I get my bench press up to 185, and then once I get RFK Jr.
Yeah, then I'll start doing brain surgery. Yeah. You know, so it's a really practical goal of just like losing a couple inches off my waist so I can, you know, fit back into my like button up.
You don't have to buy all new shirts.
Yeah, no,
but who knows if the bulk keeps trending upwards and you get a 33 inch waist, but you get 40 something inch shoulders, starts to fucking make sense a little, you know, you can put 2 inches on your waist if you put 5 inches on your shoulders.
Yeah. But I think it's like, okay, I think that like, if I were to like Incredible Hulk out of a shirt, like, I don't want it to Incredible Hulk from the gut. It's like, if my shoulders burst out of a shirt, that looks dope. If, like, my belly explodes out of a shirt, that's not a good look.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. all right, so now we know your fitness goals. Where can people find you? And I know you have a new web series or a new series out that you wanted to talk about and some interesting awards-based news. Why don't you throw some of this shit out for us here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, and TikTok at Joey Tainment. Then you can follow me on Instagram at Threads at Joey Clift with 5 or 6 eyes. The reason for that's a 12-year-old took Joey Clift with 1 eye, and I wasn't muscular at the time, so I couldn't beat him up and take it. But now that 12-year-old
I couldn't take
watch
Joe
out.
Clift.
yeah, let's see that kid try to stop Joseph. And then, yeah, you can check out my my new Comedy Central digital series, Gone Native, at gonenative.tv. It's a series of animated comedy PSAs about weird microaggressions a lot of Native American and Indigenous folks experience on a regular basis. One of my favorite Gone Native shorts is called Dear Legendary Horror Author Stephen King, instead of using Indian burial grounds in your books, have you thought about using European burial grounds?
A lot of people are buried, and it is fucked up to build anything on any burial ground.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Also, like, Paris is made out of a mountain of human bones. Like, Europe is terrifying. Like, Hey, you can check those out at gonenative.tv. And then I was a writer, consulting producer on the Netflix kids and a kids fantasy adventure series, Spirit Rangers, which was just nominated for 7 Emmy Awards. So that's crazy. I'm an Emmy nominated producer now, which is dope. And that's
hell yeah, dude. Congrats, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
And that's a show that's really cool. It's the first kids show in the history of U.S. animation, like created by a Native person, the genius Shumash TV writer, Chris of Valencia, with like an all Native writers room and Native characters played by Native actors. And, you know, it's genuinely a show I'm like really proud of. And if you've got like, if you got kids, it's, I think it's like a good show to show your kids.
Normally saying something like this might be considered a dig, but I think for Spirit Rangers, it's not. Every screen grab and clip I've seen from the show is so freaking cute.
No, I agree. I wrote an episode called Spirit Kittens about the kids learning how cute kittens are. So it's like, yeah, the show's freaking adorable.
It's for kids, so you're allowed to say it's cute. It's not like, I love your cute little show on FX, little dicky. Like, that's condescending. But yeah, when it's a cute kid's show about cute show.
Yeah, I love your adorable show, The Last of Us, on HBO. It's so adorbs.
Precious little thing you got going over there. Joey, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Good chatting with you about fucking weightlifting.
Hell yeah, dog.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm at Gabrus everywhere. You can check out my other podcast, actionboys.biz. We just launched some new merch. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on!
Do it now!